This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Coming up Tuesday at Joseph F. Booksellers, Christopher L. Bennett will be taking a book signing and reading at Joseph F. with his new novel, Only Superhuman. Now, Christopher Bennett has written critically acclaimed novels based on Star Trek and Spider-Man and X-Men, and this is his first original novel. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome Christopher Bennett to the WVXU studios. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Glad to be here.
I want to go back to the beginning of your science fiction writing. We'll talk about Only Superhuman here in just a moment, but I was fascinated in reading on your website that you discovered Star Trek as a youngster and thought it was about an airplane that flew through only at night.
Yes, I was 5 years old. I was watching with my mother and my father, who with Myron Bennett, who was at WGUC for some time. A lot of your listeners may remember him.
Oh, yes.
And I was just, I saw this show about this thing flying around with stars behind it, and I didn't know what stars were or what planets were. I thought planets were some kind of islands they visited. I didn't know what those big balls, colored balls that were hovering next to the ship were. But my parents, they encouraged my curiosity. They got me books on science and astronomy, and I was hooked. I was just utterly fascinated, and it shaped everything since then.
Yeah, but of course, at that time, being 5 years old, you never imagined yourself writing science fiction in the future, right?
Yeah, that didn't happen until I was 13. I had these building blocks of set called Star City, like futuristic Lego kind of thing, and I made these little aliens out of my father's pipe cleaners, and I made up stories about the city and the aliens. And one day, I told myself a whole story about the people inside the city without actually playing physically with anything, and it was a whole story, beginning, middle, to end. And I realized I just wrote a story. I'm a writer.
Just... Well, how did you get into writing those Star Trek novels? That is something I know my kids devoured, both Star Trek and Star Wars, and I know you did Spider-Man and X-Men as well. How did that break come around?
Well, I got kind of lucky through an unconventional route. There was a bulletin board online, the Trek BBS, that its Trek literature board was frequented at the time by a number of the editors at Pocket Books, and I had the mercenary thought, here's an opportunity for me, so I let it be known to them that I was a writer and that I knew my Star Trek pretty well. At the time, I had sold two novelettes, original fiction, to Analog Magazine. And so eventually, at the time, they had an e-book series that was coming out every month called Starfleet Corps of Engineers. And because there were so much of it, they opened it up to new writers. And the editor of that series, Keith R. A. DeCandido, who's a friend of mine now, he offered me the opportunity to pitch, and I did, and he bought it, and I was able to parlay that into selling my first print Star Trek story in an anthology that was being published by editor Marco Palmieri, who was also there at the time, and then Marco agreed to look at this outline for a novel, the Star Trek novel I'd always wanted to write, which is called Ex Machina, which is a direct sequel to Star Trek the Motion Picture and picks up on a lot of the plot and character threads that were set up in that movie but never really explored. And I always wondered why nobody had really explored those, and I did. And since then, I've kind of made a niche for myself filling in those sort of unexamined gaps in the universe. Like, I was the one picked to tell in the Star Trek The Next Generation series a novel I did called The Buried Age, which tells the 9 years of Captain Picard's life between his previous command and the Starship Enterprise, which were barely touched on screen. And that was another story I always wanted to tell. And when Marco just invited me to tell it out of the blue, I just... a dream come true. So
I was going to ask, with those novels, you know, how much is... provided for you, because it does seem like they, while they're distinct standalone novels, they are tied together with characters and the like, I didn't know how much structure you were given to begin with.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't understand that. They think that it's the the publisher or the studio that decides what stories we write, but that's what they hire us to do. We're the ones who come up with the ideas. I mean, if you hire an architect to build an extension to your house, you don't do the blueprints for them. So
right.
That's what they're hired for. So we may get some basic instruction, just basically, do you want to do something in this period? Or it might be, we might be given, if it's part of an ongoing series, we might be given a few beats, character and story beats, at least get to this point by the end of your book, but how you get there is up to you. And aside from the, generally aside from those little bits that you have to fit in, how you do it, what actually happens in the story is up to you.
Well, out of all this comes Only Superhuman, your first original debut novel. Was this something that had been rolling around for a while? There's a lot going on here with with your heroine, Emerald Blair, mm-hmm. and all that's going on around her and through her life. Was this a story that had been percolating for a while, or one that you decided to come up with?
Oh, yes, you could definitely say that. I created Emerald Blair in 1988, and I made my first attempt at a novel about her in 1993, and in retrospect, it wasn't very good.
Hindsight's always 20/20, though.
I spent a lot of years refining it and revising it and coming up with ideas. I took the best of my old ideas, all this stuff that I come up with for years, plus the new ideas I'd come up with, and I created a new outline, and that became Only Superhuman. I actually wrote the first draft between 2003 and 2005, did several major rewrites over the following years. I tried to get Pocket Books, my Star Trek publisher, interested in it, but they didn't have much of an original science fiction program going. Mm. But a couple years back, I learned that one of my fellow Star Trek authors, who's also a freelance editor for Tor, Greg Cox, was acquiring books for Tor, and I asked him if he'd be interested in seeing what I had to offer, and he said sure, and he really liked the book, and the editor, his boss at Tor, liked it, and the rest is history.
Well, it's quite a story about Emerald Blair, known as the Green Blaze, mm-hmm. One of the troubleshooters trying to settle things between Earth and the Outer Belts, mm-hmm. and where people have taken this mm-hmm. human modification. I really saw a lot of what's happening today and debates that are going on today when it comes to genetic modifications. Of course, we mainly hear about it in food, but you're talking about the human side. Now, Emerald's pretty much human, just a little stronger, faster, yeah. You know, buffier than most. But you also have the ones who have factored their genes and become, well, they have a coat of fox hair or yeah. seal or simian. And really taking that genetic modification to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that inspired by a lot of the science that's happening today?
Well, it's really kind of left over from my ideas from the 80s. I just wanted to come up with various tropes for human modification and superhero and supervillain type characters. And I did work some discussion of the ethics of human modification into it, but it wasn't where it originated from. And I, as the book shows, I tend to take a pretty positive view about the potential of such advances. I mean, certainly there are risks, but then there are risks to lighting a fire. And if we hadn't used it in spite of those risks, then we wouldn't have gained all the benefits from it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you argue both sides of the point fairly well in the story.
Thank you.
And with this being your first your debut novel, you know, first original as it goes along. Obviously, this isn't the only story you've been working on. Are you working on a second one already?
I actually have written a second spec novel that I've been hoping to start marketing. It's in the same general universe, the same continuity, but not about those characters of that era. I do have other ideas for further troubleshooter adventures, Emerald Blair adventures, if this one does well enough to warrant sequels. I certainly am ready to proceed with that.
Well, she's a very colorful young lady, and I can mm-hmm. see her going a long way for you.
I hope so.
Christopher L. Bennett, the author of Only Superhuman, his debut novel in bookstores now. You can find a link to learn more about Christopher and his work and his other books at our website, wvxu.org. And again, Christopher L. Bennett will be at Joseph F. Booksellers on Tuesday at 7 o'clock for book signing and reading. You can check him out there. Thanks for being here this morning, Christopher.
Thank you, Mark.